This is NPR Illinois. I'm Jamie Dunn. A new state law requires high school civics courses cover current and controversial events. Those new requirements kicked in just in time for an election cycle where adults are struggling to have civil conversations. This week, Illinois Issues takes a look at how high school civics classes are handling today's sometimes toxic political climate. Christy Kennedy wrote this week's Illinois Issues in-depth report, and she joins us now to talk about it. We'll also hear the voices of some of the sources she talked to for her story. Christy, welcome and thanks for joining us. First, can you tell me a little bit about how these new requirements differ from what was in place before?
The state required 2 years of social studies. 1 year had to be U.S. history, which is still the case, but then that course could combine government. So really, Illinois schools were only required to teach kids about patriotism, the proper use of the flag, and then the principles of representative government. Now the law requires high school students to have one semester of civics to graduate, and then there are some very specific requirements. And those requirements include discussions on current and controversial issues. Kids actually have to engage in the democratic process.
You talked with Jessica Marshall from Chicago Public Schools, and she said part of that is also recognizing some of the roadblocks kids might face when they try to get involved. Here's what she had to say about that.
I think this is true for all young people, but it's especially true for young people who in a lot of ways are marginalized and alienated, right? If your experiences with government, with society is that you're not always welcome, there's not always a seat at the table for you, there's not always a door that's opened, and you're not always invited to come in. If I'm teaching you the world is your oyster, democracy is there for you, if you don't participate, it's your fault, and I'm not really acknowledging that, no, there are real challenges to participation. There are real moments where people don't feel represented and they feel silenced, and we have to acknowledge that, right? And we have to engage them, because otherwise what happens is they nod and smile and say, yeah, okay, and then they move on. We're not just practicing so that one day you can do something. We actually want students to act now. There are issues they care about that are impacting them today. It'd be great if they could start to acquire these skills and use them for things they care about.
Classes are having to have discussions about issues like race and immigration and things that adults are really struggling to be civil about right now. How are teachers keeping the peace and making those conversations productive in the classroom?
Teachers say this is the toughest piece of the new curriculum, and it seems the most difficult, I think, in districts that have a lot of diversity because their kids have more diverse opinions and I think may potentially step on each other's toes. A good example of that that I found was at Waubonsie High School. A girl made a comment that illegal immigrants should go back to their home countries, and she just didn't realize that another girl who was sitting across the classroom was, in fact, an undocumented immigrant, and it just didn't occur to her. So that teacher really had to kind of navigate how to get these girls to talk to each other. And his goal wasn't to make them agree with each other, but to make them really kind of back up their thoughts about different issues. And those are the types of things that teachers are doing. So they're using discussion frameworks like the Socratic seminar to teach kids how to have intellectual discussions about issues.
With topics like adultery and sexual assault coming up in presidential debates, some schools kind of considered whether they wanted to do watch parties or not. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Schools are required to have simulations and also engage kids in government. So one of the ways that they could engage kids in government that seems kind of intuitive and easy is to host a debate watch party where kids could all come together and watch the debate and then maybe discuss it at that time or later in class. And some schools actually talked about whether or not they wanted to host these parties because the debates were covering such kind of controversial, sensitive material. One teacher I talked to at Naperville Central just decided that she wasn't going to tie any sort of points to the debate party that they had there. It was completely optional, and she just felt like it wasn't fair to even offer extra credit for students who wanted to watch the debate. At Waubonsie Valley High School, they actually had a discussion about whether or not it was appropriate to have a watch party because they didn't want to have it become just a free-for-all or become this crazy thing. They wanted to make sure that kids could be mature enough to watch a debate and learn about issues and, you know, actually learn. They ultimately decided to host a watch party because they felt like most kids who take civics are going to be in their junior or senior year. Many of them may already be voting in this election. Some of them certainly would be old enough to vote next year or the following year. So they really felt like it was important to offer the debate watch party.
These courses are also dealing with something called news literacy, which is basically being able to critically evaluate information you get from the media. So, for instance, not thinking that something that you found on a fake news website is actually true. Here's what Jessica Marshall from Chicago Public Schools had to say about that.
Frankly, that's a really hard task for a lot of adults, right? You know, knowing when something is posted on social media, is the source reliable? How do I look at it and how do I understand it and how do I check it? Actually, an interesting study that was done of young people, a kind of nationally representative survey of young people on how they use information in digital media. One of the things that students said for themselves was they wanted help figuring out how do you trust the source? How do you find a source that's reliable? They know that it's important. You know, things happen all the time where people get caught reposting something that wasn't true, right? And so we as adults need to continue to think about what are the sources we're looking at and if they're reliable, and our students need practice with that as well.
Can you tell us a little bit about the news literacy efforts in these civic programs?
Just the very nature that students are being asked to question things that they hear and they see is huge. Because one teacher was telling me that kids tend to get information from social media. So they're passive recipients of information and sound bites and tweets and things like that. So the very thought that they have to go out and research something and find out information about it and figure out if it's true or not is kind of huge for them.
And Greg Turner with East St. Louis District 189 said that their program has reached beyond the school and gotten the community involved. Here's Mr. Turner.
Parents come to the schools. The curriculum is written in a way where it sparks conversation at home, and they have to bring in evidence that they've had these conversations. It's a community effort. It has really taken off in our district. It really has.
The social studies program there decided to not just have government types of simulations in their high schools, but also to put it down into their elementary schools. So they held a mock election at the elementary school where kids ran against each other for different offices, and the parents got involved. And the staff there felt like by getting the parents involved that perhaps it would show them that they could get involved in this election and vote and feel like their votes would matter. The whole purpose of the entire program is to create an informed, engaged citizenry. The goal is to have people who can have conversations about issues and feel like they can make a difference about issues that matter to them, and then also so that they vote and participate in democracy.
You can read Christy Kennedy's Illinois Issues In-Depth Report, which takes a look at new requirements for high school civics courses. That's at our website, nprillinois.org.